is your full name, please?
My name is Michael Roger Hughes.
And do we have permission to record this interview, Michael?
You do have, yes.
Great, great. And could you tell us where and when you were born?
I was born in Llanelli in, I'm not quite sure, James Street, I think, in 1944, August the 15th,
1944. 1944, lovely, And how did you, I know you're a relative, but how did you actually, so you met Father Paul through your family, obviously. We normally ask, how did you meet Father Satori? But it's a family connection, obviously, yes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's, well, obviously, a family connection. And the first part of my life, I was down in Llanelli until, I don't know, 1946, I suppose, when my father was demobbed from the Navy. And my mum used to work with Paul's mum. Well, she was looking after the kids, as all her big family there in Llanelli. So, yeah, I sort of, those early years, one sort of grew up with him, and we were frequent visitors to Llanelli when, because my father's from Llanelli, and of course my mum had her sister there.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Actually, Paul's mum and dad, they were second cousins, they were both Sartoris. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they were already relatives, loosely.
Okay, that's interesting. That is interesting. And thinking about Father Paul specifically, right? Paul specifically, what's your very, very earliest memory of him?
Very earliest memory of him would be that. Sorry, my other phone seems going off here. My earliest memory would be, you know, playing with him in their house in Park Street. I know he would be born in 1940, so he'd be, you know, 4 years older than me, but my brother, I have two other brothers, and one younger, one older. And we were playing in the garden and all sorts of things, running around there, and when I was a bit older, going for walks and other stuff around there to Park Howard in Llanelli. I used to stay down there with him, yes, in his house.
Okay.
He was just a normal boy, yeah.
That's great, And how would you describe him, you know, at that age? How would you describe him?
He was... he's always been, you know, fairly outgoing, so that's my opinion. Other people may have a different view. But, I would say he was a caring person, looking after us younger kids that were there. And, he was gregarious, and we used to have some fun, plenty of laughter.
Okay, great. And do you have any favourite stories about him that you can remember? Any favourite stories you could share with us?
When we were young or when we were older?
Well, at any point in your life, really.
I can share some. I can't share others, but okay. So let me give you the ones I can share. I'd gone down to Harford West. I used to go down there quite frequently when he was a priest and in charge of the parish there way before that he was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. I mean, one's got to remember that Paul was smoking from the age of about 7 years old. So mainly because in the shop that they had, you know, cigarettes in the cafe in Park Street, Express Cafe it was called, people could come in and buy, you know, a single cigarette in those days. They had no money, you know, plenty of people didn't, because war years of being out of work. So there was plenty of cigarettes around, and Paul started to smoke when must have been, I don't know, 6, 7, some sort of age like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
during that time, I mean, Paul was, when I used to go down, he was in Tregeeb, say where your dad was, in that age, from the age of, I suppose, 11 to, is it 18, he would have been there before he went on, or maybe 16, before he went off to the priesthood then. So in that time, it was more difficult to actually see him. Because when we'd go down there, maybe he was in school, although we did go out to Llandilo several times to actually meet him. But one memory I have of him is that all of us, I'm not saying from the Satori side, but also from the Hughes side, the Welsh side, we were all pretty good runners and long jumpers. In fact, Paul was an excellent long jumper, and this is what I also was good at. And I remember one time going down to the school, and they had an open day where there was like a games running competition. And so I took part against some of the boys in the school, and there was the first prize was a great big box of chocolates. When they fired the gun, I didn't actually move until Paul was shouting that I had to run. Yeah. And I run. I didn't win. I came in second, so I didn't get the chocolates. So I was a little bit upset over that. But yeah, all the family, his brother Anthony, my brother, all of us were sprinters and long jumpers.
It's funny you say that, because that's one of my father's memories of him being a very good runner.
Yeah, he was.
What about later in life, Michael? Do you
have any... later in life, coming down to Dartford West, the number of times I attended a number of weddings that he officiated at.
Yeah.
And I think next to the presbytery there was a political club, was it the Labour Club or something? I can't quite remember now.
It's the Labour Club.
The Labour Club, yeah, so we used to go and have a little kibble in there. But one particular time, because Paul had a boat there in Milford Haven, and we had great difficulty starting the thing. And anyway, we started it, and there was we took it out into the haven, and we drove somewhere to... we navigated it somewhere, and then as we were coming back, there was some fishermen coming in a long open boat that obviously been out trawling, and we had, I can say, some cans of beer there with us, and I was sitting in the front of the boat and Paul was driving it, yeah. And so Paul says to me, "Hey Mike, throw a couple of cans of beer to these guys in this boat." So I mean, when I lobbed them over, because we were in a power boat, these guys nearly jumped out of the boat here, because they must have thought I was lobbing a hand grenade or something. So that was quite comical. You know, other times listening to his sermons down there, which he was pretty good at relating to, you know, everyday life, which is important. And then he visited me, because I was living in Hastings then.
Okay.
I'd lived with Paul. He visited me a couple of times in Hastings, where I had a boat as well, but a sailing boat, not a power boat. And so he stayed there, and we went out in the boat. He officiated a number of weddings and christenings, which I attended. To summarise him up there, I think Joanna, who you spoke to, I think he may have married her. I think she'd been married twice here. Yeah. I think it would be Joanna. Yeah, he married her. He married myself, brother. He married a fair amount of the relatives, and then christened many of the kids.
Okay. Yeah. Within the family.
Within the family, yes.
Yeah.
Because his brother Anthony had MS, Anthony's brother, had multiple sclerosis from the age of about 25. And it crept on Anthony. And although he did live into his 70s, He was quite debilitated by it. He couldn't walk really in the end, unfortunately. So, treatment for MS has more likely improved significantly since then. Paul was always there with a joke, always there to help. And he was, I loved him as if he was one of my brothers. In fact, him and his other brother, Anthony, we were all, very close.
Yeah.
Used to go down there playing chess against them. Paul was a good chess player, but not the best, because his brother Naldo, who was the doctor, was more likely the best player amongst the Satoris. But we used to spend hours playing chess in the cafe when we would help out. Another anecdote was we were walking up to Velenvol, and walking up to Velenvol from Old Road. Now you just walk there past Park Howard, and there's a bridge. I think there's a train maybe, and there's a big hotel there. Now there's a bridge, little pub at the end of the road there. And it was a warm day, and Paul, who wasn't then, he was not 18, he was, I think he was 17, so that would make me 13.
Yeah.
And so he got me a lemonade, and he was arguing with the people that he was 18 and able to get some beer. They didn't ask for ID in those days. In the end, they believed that he was 18, and so he got his pint.
But you had to make do with lemonade.
I don't count myself as a drinker at all. I don't drink these days, very rarely, older you get, the less you want to consume. I don't need to get high or anything, and then he officiated at my father's funeral, and of course his own father as well. But Paul is interred in the grave in Velenvol there, which his father went in first of all, and then Paul went in the grave, and then his mum, Domenica, went in as the last person. I'm just thinking now, or did he have a separate grave? I'm not sure now. I think they're all together.
I think my dad might have mentioned something about them being together. I think you might be right. I don't know.
I think his mum and dad, and the dad first, and then Paul, and then
mum.
His mum, Domenica. He was when he had his cancer, he was pretty sort of. I went and saw him several times there during the illness, and it was pretty traumatic there because he had to be lying flat out it looked like more like a massage table, but it wasn't that. It was a table, not a bed, with to stretch his neck, because he had cancer also secondary in the neck there, and he had various sort of things stretching him there. And unfortunately, it was stage four there, and there was no real hope of him recovering at the time it was discovered.
What was the last time you saw him then, Mike?
Just before he died, yeah. My mum was down there with his mum, and they were on vigil the whole time. So I saw him, he's slipping in and out of consciousness, and he was still smoking, because, there was nothing he could do. Say, I'll give up smoking, you get cancer, you already have it. About a week to 10 days before he actually died, my mum was down there with his mum. They were virtually, in the home. I think it was there are in Swansea, is it the Sisters of Mercy or something? I can't quite remember here now, but he was in a not in Singleton or in the main hospital. Mm. He was in this other nursing home, effectively. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you know, it was he knew he was going to die, and
yeah,
it's very sad. Yeah.
Tell me something. Tell me something, Michael. If you were to say how Paul impacted your life in a particular way, what would you say? Your own life.
Well, you know, he was a relative. You can't say he was not a teacher, at least he wasn't a teacher to me, yes. But you know, he was my best friend. Not only that, in the Roman Catholic Church, because he's Roman Catholic, he was my confessor. You know, the Roman Catholic Church, you're not meant to tell. In fact, even in the Anglican Church, my father was Anglican, if you take confession, you're not supposed to say anything on to, you know, it's got to be 100% secret. Even if I confess to him that I've murdered, was a serial murderer. So he was my confessor. So when I used to go to confession, I went to Paul, not because, oh yeah, you know, I didn't get 10 Hail Marys and I had to, you know, light 150 candles or something. You know, Paul was more of a modern Roman Catholic priest, I would say, compared to, you know, my wife's uncle was an Anglican, High Church Anglican, and he would have been, he knew more about the regulations and the various dogmas that came out of Rome than what my cousin Paul did. Paul was more of a people person, and so he would be, you know, into helping and being caring for someone rather than strictly go by the regulations. Mm-hmm. So some priests will say, can't do that because, you know, it's not in canon law, which is the law which governs the church there. Where Paul would, you know, like many, because both his parents were Italian, where only one of mine was, like many, maybe Italian priests might take a more open view than the sort of Irish priests, let's say. Irish priests you've seen the Roman Catholic Church in Ireland was pretty draconian. So you had a very easygoing guy and a very forgiving person.
Yeah, that's great, Mike. Yeah, that's great. Mike, if you could sum up Paul in three words, what would they be?
Well, he was caring, that's certainly so, forgiving, and he was gregarious, he was happy, yeah.
Yeah, great, that's great. Now, by way of finishing, Michael, is there anything else you'd like to mention?
Just trying to think, because I sent down several pictures to the Paul Sartori Foundation. In fact, there's some with his friend Russ there, where he's all wearing a white hat. So, I mean, most of the pictures I think that you've got there, actually, I think come from me there, ones where he was, the day he was ordained, where the cameraman actually caught the light, and it was like, if one is a believer, that is, the Holy Spirit was above his head there. Mm. It was quite an amazing picture. So I do have some pictures of him when he was a youngster with us, which I could scan and send in to the foundation.
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah, so, you know, that... yeah, I still got those. I can get those out for you and
you,
scan
Mike.
Them and send them, yeah.
Yeah, that would
but
be much
other than that, he was, to me, he was I was closer to him than my elder brother, not my younger brother. I get on with my younger brother far better than the elder one. You know, I got on with him amazing, you know. It was like he was my brother. So, you know, so it was like when he died, when he was, it was a great pain for me because, you know, I loved him and enjoyed his company so much.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to finish there, Michael. Thank you so much for your time on this and for your insight.